Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson here with Lisa Murphy. Lisa Murphy, how you doing?
I am good. How are you this morning?
I'm delightful. So
delightful.
The other day I was doing some work on a old wooden file cabinet that I've had for a long time, and it needed some attention, right? The drawers weren't sliding the way they should. It had a couple gouges in it that needed smoothed out. And that got me thinking about friction and lubrication, right? Because I mean, those gouges, and I don't want to walk by it and snag one of my ripped up old t-shirts that I wear anyway,
right? Because on the splinter that's sticking out.
Yeah. And so that required some friction, some sanding, and actually the application of friction made things smoother. Which was kind of the point there. But then the door glides, there's no metal in the door glides. It's all wooden. And so over time, gunk builds up. And so I had to take everything, pull everything out, and then lubricate it, mostly with like mineral oil, but some of my lemon pledge, and got everything moving nice and smooth. And then the next day I was doing some work on one of those sliding patio doors. You know how mm-hmm. the gunk will build up in mm-hmm. the tracks and everything, and every once in a while you clean out the gunk, you remove the friction, you add some lubrication, and things work better. And so, of course, because what I do is think about early learning, that got me thinking about the environments we create and how one way at looking at our interactions in our environment and with children and maybe with people across the board is, do I need to add some friction or do I need to add some lubrication? Mm-hmm. Because look, there are situations where kids are floating around almost weightless, and the best thing for them in some situations is some friction, something to push back against.
Literally, right?
Literally.
We're not talking in metaphors right
now.
Well,
I mean, literally and metaphorically, because some kids, nothing challenges them. Everybody, I mean, it's the snowplow parents, those kind of things. We're constantly clearing the path for them. And for them to learn how to function in real life, they need to experience friction. So they learn how to deal with it when they're out in the real world, and little doses of friction, little doses of challenge, like you like to say, getting your shovel back. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of experiences are friction moments where they get to practice those skills that kind of move them forward. Other kids struggle. So there are times where we need to kind of lubricate things. We need to kind of step in and make things easier for them to move along. And so I was just thinking about this out walking the hounds after mm-hmm. my friction and lubrication experiences and thought it might be fun to talk to you about. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking about that sometimes it needs to, you got to make it worse to get better, or sometimes it gets better. Like when you first said friction, I'll admit my brain, it brought up a negative kind of connotation that perhaps
yeah, sure.
that meant like struggle or some kind of tension or some kind of conflict kind of friction. I wasn't really thinking about how you were saying about it could be a positive, you know, for the kid, maybe something literally or metaphorically to be pushing back against, to build up either those real muscles or build up the practice muscles of maybe more social or language navigation. I instantly, my notes were like removing the friction was removing the dead weight. I mean, as soon as you talked about environment, I'm like, okay, so this is that example of getting rid of the teacher that's causing all of the friction in order to make the bigger picture smoother for everybody in the environment. I was thinking about that.
But yeah,
I think your metaphor is perfect.
I think there's so many examples of that. We did an online session the other night with Mike Huber, talking about consent and rough and tumble play. And one of the things he was talking about during that session was, you know, some kids are sensitive to sound. Yeah. And so having some noise canceling headphones around is a way to accommodate that. And essentially what that does along the lines of what we're talking about is that takes that friction of too much noise in the environment out of the space for the kids. So
could you substitute the word maybe for some of our listeners who are having a hard time? I'm not assuming you're having a hard time listening to this, but is it kind of like a roadblock, could you say? Could you make that generalization that friction is sometimes a speed bump or something getting in the way or something not always negative, but can we provide some different words or some similes?
I think it's just, I think it's just something that keeps us from moving forward.
So that could be your attitude.
Maybe if we're walking backwards, I guess walking backwards.
But it could be an attitude, could be giving friction, something physically in the space could be providing that friction.
Well, sure. Last night I did a block session. I talked about the seven stages of block play, and we talked about this in a fairly recent episode. That first stage of Johnson's stages of block play is just getting to know the block, the hauling and the toting, and sometimes throwing. Mm-hmm. And so, for a lot of caregivers helping kids through that stage, instead of shutting down the throwing or the hauling the blocks across the room and dumping them, that caregiver attitude that's bad, the dumping or the throwing or whatever it is bad. That can be in that situation. That's the friction. And so how do you lubricate that? You create an environment where it's okay to haul the blocks across the toddler room and dump them out or throw things. I mean, you may not want them throwing the blocks, but create an environment where they can meet that need to throw things. A lot of times that's the adjustment in the caregiver's attitude. And other times, like with the earmuffs, whatever, the noise canceling headphones, whatever, it's actually reducing a physical friction, quote unquote friction, in the environment, that too much noise. And so it can be physical, but it can also be kind of emotional or attitudinal. Is that a word?
It is now.
That's all going on. And so, I mean, really, what we're doing when we're trying to reduce those friction points is we're trying to add some lubricant
to smooth the situation
to get things moving smoother. But then, I mean, the other side is sometimes we need more friction, because I mean, if you were on a floor and there was literally no friction, you wouldn't be able to walk forward. It's that friction of your foot on that floor that allows forward motion. And so, I mean, I think some kids, everything is just too easy for them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so we need to create an environment that does have
putting sandpaper on that same floor.
Yeah,
putting
sure.
Some sandpaper.
Yeah, it's creating a developmentally appropriate, situationally appropriate amount of friction that they have something to push back against, because the only way we move forward physically and developmentally is to have something to push again, having a little bit of friction.
So because I've been smack in the middle of a lot of encores of the COVID DAP webinar that I've been doing for Ohio AEYC, I'll give it a little plug there.
Yeah.
My brain has been a lot thinking about the resistance that might be required, not might be, the resistance, the pushback. And so when you first messaged me and said, you know, friction lubricant, I'll be honest, the very first place my brain went was that right now our industry perhaps is needing and requiring some friction, because I initially interpreted it as resistance. So is our desire to push back against some of the suggestions from the CDC that are being interpreted as requirements, is our willingness to stand strong and say no and putting that resistance out there, would you call that friction? Is that providing friction to a situation?
Well, look, I think, you know, coming up on 30 years in this profession, I think we as a profession are very well lubricated when it comes to the educrats, I like to call them. We just let everything slide. Everything mm-hmm. slips on back. And so I think one of the things we've done in our 600 plus episodes of this show is constantly tell listeners that you need to push back a little bit. You need to create some friction. Don't make it so easy for them to tell you what to do, and don't make it so easy just following orders is probably not going to generate the outcomes that you want over time. And when you start pushing back against some of that a little bit, creating some friction, it can make the people you're pushing back against pretty damn uncomfortable, because they're,
well, especially because they're not used to doing that. You've changed the rules of the game.
Yeah.
And so they're wondering, not there. I mean, I'm making a generalization here. So it's almost like when teachers change their mind in the classroom, even maybe removing some of that friction that's been there, that no, 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 no. And then they start to say yes, 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 yes. The kids initially are going to be like, you know, you've changed the rules. Is this really how it's going to be now? So there's that testing, And we know that the stronger and more consistent the adult or the provider is in maintaining that new boundary, you know, then everybody kind of recalibrates to that new expectation, that new normal. And I'm applying that same analogy to the profession, at least pockets of them, standing up and saying, these expectations are inappropriate. They're not really mandates. I'm not going to cave in and do what you're thinking I should be doing. And so I think we're being tested a little more because they're not used to that pushback or us being so vocal.
Yeah, yeah. And I got a topic for you after this one about something I saw on the placard billboard thing outside a veterinarian clinic we walked by. That kind of relates to this topic as well. So I think that'll be a good follow-up episode. But yeah, I think that need to push back, that need to create some friction there. But and it gets, I guess it gets metaphorically complicated, because one of the ways that you might, I mean, you don't want to just create friction, right? If you're having a conflict with, if you need to push back with an administrator or something, maybe the friction is already there, and the way you get by it is you lubricate it. You don't go in guns a-blazing, being a total overly righteous asshole about it. You go in and you tell them, my, you look nice today. Have you lost a couple pounds? Whatever it is, that, I mean, social lubricant. And then you kind of,
then you pull the rug out from under.
Yeah.
Then,
yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Make nice. We call it the make nice. You got to do a little bit of a make nice there.
Yeah, but sure. And I mean,
I also want to make sure that, I mean, the more we've been talking about it, I would imagine that you'd agree that friction isn't necessarily a negative thing, although it might at first glance feel like it might be something negative.
No, I'm 100% pro friction, and I think in too many situations we don't have enough friction. I mean, we can roll this into things like risky play. One of the reasons that risky play gets pruned out of too many early learning settings is it because it creates for the adults too much friction.
You don't know what's on the other side of it, right? So we err on the side of not letting it happen anyway, because we don't know. And so it's scary to think what might come out of that friction.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, things like, you know, adults stepping when children have a conflict, when there's some friction between children, they're arguing over the purple paint or whatever it is. caregivers often step in to quote unquote fix it too soon because they want to keep everything running smoothly. They want to reduce the friction. Yeah, yeah. They want to add too much lubrication and fix things. And what that really does is steal the children's opportunity to fix it for themselves.
Exactly.
And so those moments of friction where children are disagreeing or when they're engaged in a type of play that may make the adults uncomfortable or where topics that we as the adults might feel some discomfort come up and then we have to deal with. A lot of times we just try to lubricate ourselves right past those. And so I'm a huge advocate for maybe allowing that friction to exist in those moments. I mean, we talk about early learning being a dance, using that metaphor sometimes. And so, you know, I think,
I like that idea. You know, what just jumped in my head when you said as a dance was like those old movies where the couple would be dancing, but the guy on the side really wanted to dance. So we'd interrupt the dance because he wanted to dance with her. How often are we interrupting the dance because of something we think we want or something?
Yeah. Something that we think
better.
We need to change. And so, I mean, this, maybe we look at it with a look of the play environment handy person, that you're walking around and you got
your WD-40
in one hand and you got a little piece of, I don't know, 200 grit sandpaper in the other. And some situations you want to lubricate things and some situations you want to add a little bit of friction. And it's, I just thought it'd be a different way to look at things. But I think it carries over out of childcare into coworker interactions and, like you said, interactions with them.
Well, but honestly, Jeff, while you've been talking, I've been getting a lot of really strong visual images. I think it's because, as I told you, I've been working out finally again this week. I told the wart F you and started walking. I've been sleeping really well. I've been on a diet. I've lost 6 pounds. I haven't been drinking. And I'm like, I'm on fire, right? But I could almost imagine, Jeff, a workshop, a staff training where you talk about situations where you come with a balance. You got the WD-40 in one hand and the sandpaper in the other. Or other situations where you got double WD-40, or you got double sandpaper. So how are you approaching common scenarios in your early childhood environment? Like, what are you leading with?
And I think that would totally have to start out with somebody actually lubricating a sliding drawer or something, so they'd actually see this actually makes a difference. Because I mean, there are people. There is at least one listener to the show right now who has a drawer in their kitchen or bathroom vanity or something that isn't working right, and it's been like that for
10 years.
And the fix is literally 90 seconds. You pull the drawer out, you flip it upside down, you take a rag and you wipe out the gunk, and you add a little bit of mineral oil or WD-40 or whatever it is to the slides, and you put it back in, and it's like a brand new drawer.
So what gets in the way of that? Let's keep going with that. So why don't we do it? We know it's a quick fix. We know we've got WD-40 in the garage. We know we got a rag. We know we got mineral oil. Why don't we do it? Are we so acclimated now?
Well, I think one of the things is, I mean, it's kind of like burnout. We get very comfortable with the way things are. And so it's really, I mean, we're creatures of comfort, right? We don't change as hard. And so we just stick with things the way they are. Other times we just, the trouble happens, the drawer that's not sliding, for example. If it takes 5 years for it to get bad, we don't really notice it. It's kind of like fingernails growing. They grow and grow and grow until one day you realize you need to trim them. And the day before there wasn't an issue, but then suddenly you have to deal with it. So I think sometimes it's so incremental, we don't notice the need for change, but sometimes we get comfortable with it.
Then once you do fix it, right? You're not used to it being fixed. You're not used to it working, quote unquote, properly. So that first time you open the drawer, it flies across the room because it was the first time there wasn't that resistance.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, oh, shoot, you know, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you might not be used to what's on the other side, even though for all intents and purposes, it's a more positive situation and scenario all around. It still takes time to acclimate to that because you're used to it being a different way.
Yeah, sure. And now back to some wart talk. You spent, I mean, it's been, what, a couple months that that's been bothering you?
Since COVID started.
And,
like the week after. So March 13th.
And so like a week ago, you decided enough. And you decided, you literally are at, I mean, not literally, but you're lubricating the situation. You're this thing was causing pain for you, physical and emotional. And you decided
and still
to make
is,
a change.
But I'm like, it's not worth it. It's not I was reaching that tipping point of where the pain of walking was not as bad as the mental and psychological pain of sitting here, not moving my body. And I'm like, it's not worth it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like we get to a point with that vanity drawer or our wart that something has to be done. And what usually has to be done is some more friction or some more lubrication.
Yeah.
I think. I'm sure there's a listener out there that's gonna come up with a reason that this totally falls apart, and I'd love to hear about that so we could have you on the show and talk about it if you think this is total bullshit. I've been thinking about it a lot.
Well, but it borders a little bit on some of the psychology talks and speaks psychology lectures that I had in the undergrad, just talking about how you even though something might not be working, it's still familiar. And so we'll find ourselves still staying there because we know it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so the thought of doing something different, even though we know it might be psychologically or physically healthier for us, it's new. And, you know, I don't like to overuse like the scary, but it can be, you know?
Oh, sure.
Or not realizing that it's going to take, like to your example of the drawer or the that's not running, not realizing that it was a 10-second fix. I mean, how often we've finally tackled that one project that we had put off and procrastinated. And when we finally did it, we're like, well, that was a waste of mental energy because now it's been forwarded on my to-do list for 6 months. And when I finally got around to doing it, it took all of maybe 30 minutes. Like, why the hell was I postponing this?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes I'll speak from personal example. Sometimes I don't deal with stuff because I'm too lazy. And sometimes I don't deal with stuff because it seems too big. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I don't deal with things or take things on because I don't think I have the skill set. And so, I mean, all of those are reasons to put, I mean, we could do a series of episodes of why do we humans put things off?
You could.
whether it's in our personal lives or in our work lives. I mean, there are programs, you know, you've visited the programs where there's just clutter and it's built up over the course of years and everybody thinks that somebody should do something about it. And nobody does anything about it because, I mean, whatever, they're worried. It's that's the way it is. Or I'm not in charge. I can't do this. Or if I take this on, somebody's going to bite me in the ass for overstepping my bounds. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. And then until somebody decides, hey, let's come on the weekend for 90 minutes and take care of this. And then the next Monday, everybody walks in and it's like they're walking into a brand new program because just the clutter is taken care of. So those kind of things, they just happen.
I was thinking time is a thing for me that gets in the way.
Sure.
And that's why I really, really like waking up early because it's like if it's early time of the day, like I feel like that's time where I quote unquote allow myself to deal with the stuff that has been on the to-do list for a long time. But once it's like gets into work time, I feel like I have to give my undivided attention to the immediate tasks at hand. So intentionally carving out time, like you said, that 90 minutes to, and you might not get it all done, but at least you start making an effort or you need to cross that darn thing off your to-do list. And I know we've talked about that too. If you forwarded the same task, you know, you either need to delegate it or realize that it's not going to get done.
This isn't going to get done. Yeah,
this isn't going to get done. And so nobody's probably going to die. Nobody's probably going to die.
I do you have any other final? I've just got one final thought. Do you have any before we get
no,
to that one?
No, this was a fun little topic. I never would have. I had weird ideas when you first were
I
was like, where are you going, Jeff?
I want to spend a minute or two patting ourselves on the back that we just talked about friction and lubrication for 23 and a half minutes without anybody making a sex joke. I think that really,
but everybody was thinking of.
Well, sure they were, and that's what makes it even funnier. But I think that really shows that we're really finally starting to mature as a podcast.
And Tasha wasn't even with us to make sure that that didn't happen.
Yeah, we adulted ourselves.
Even though we were left to our own devices.
Yeah, although she probably is walking around with a frying pan for if I decided to go blue with the situation. And we've recently transitioned to cast iron, so it would have been a big ass frying pan. So.
Boom. That would have been some tension friction.
Yeah, I've got to be on my best behavior now. Hey, listeners, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. We'll be back soon with another episode. I want to tease a behind the scenes thing. I'm making some changes. We are going to actually be moving all of the podcasts, including Child Care Bar and Grill, from the offsite server where they've been hosted since we've started podcasting to a server I've got more power and control over. And so what that means is the RSS feed for the show is going to change. So if you're subscribing through, you know, Apple Podcasts and some of those big situations, all I do is I go in and I pop in the new feed, and you probably won't notice any difference at all. If you subscribe using an app where you had to put in the RSS feed, you might notice sometime later this summer that the show, just new episodes don't show up. And what that means is you need to update the feed. When we start transitioning this show, I will make sure I mention it and put the new feed in the show notes, so it's going to be easy for you. And this is just going to give me some more, it's going to make posting episodes a little bit easier. It's just some behind the scenes nerdy stuff is the reason we're making the change. But it all leads to making subscribing and sharing the show and producing the show a little bit easier. Also means moving over 1600 individual episodes of podcasts. It's a little bit of work involved, but I mean, what else do I have to do? So there's that behind the scenes touch. Back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go. I don't know what we call that one.
Tension and friction. No, friction and lubrication. You have to, Jeff. I said.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. Oh.